Boker Tov, Ken, okay, Boker Tov, good morning. Erev Shabbat Shalom, today's daf is daf Lamed. Today's class should be for the refuah, shleimah, v'olecholim, v'ichlalam. Chemda, barachah, v'achat, v'shan, elamecha, nukam, nifka, sarah, ben munir, shalom, ha-mitzara, David, ben arachah, yifah, ben deberav, rifka, ben dechav, ben rifka, ben deser, shalom, ha-mitzara, ben munir, shalom, ha-mitzara, ben yifah, ben miyam. Yibad yam, ha-nifah, ha-yibat, ha-tachan, rechah, ben ha-chanah, shalom, ha-mitzara, ben yam, ha-nifah, ben yam. אני אדם 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 חדש סבת אמרת סבך נהג ורגיד ובאחד אדם היסר שכם על ידי יחום דמר מלכה וישב בבנת הרב נפאר שזה בדמרה של משם כנינה וישב בדמרה של משם כנינה יוסף בן יפה, דניאל מדנינה, שמחה בדנינה, אפרה מדנינה, מרגדים בדנינה, כמו שפילדו, גדלו, דנינה וגל בן מרים, חי בלילה שום נלחם מחנה, כבד אסתר, אב שלמה משמסי, מנחם דוד אריה בן רבקה, ולהבדיל לנשמת דוד בן אליהו, בנימין בן יצחק, דינה דינה בת אפרים, שמעון בן ישעיהו, בן עמקה בדן, בועז בן אברהם, דינה בת אהרון, תמר בת ברכה. Okay, we left off at the bottom of the page on Chavtet Amud Bet 29b, towards the bottom of the page. We are in a discussion now, going back and forth on the different opinions. And we were trying to understand what was the difference between the opinion of Shimon HaTemani and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. That Shimon HaTemani said that when do you fulfill the pasuk of Velo Tiyeh Le'isha? That is only when you have Havaya, when the Kiddushin counts. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says that no, when is that the case that you fulfill the pasuk? Is only whenever you are Yad Kaimah, he's able to stay married to the girl. So the Gemara is giving different answers as to how we know what the difference between the two opinions is. So the Gemara brought an answer according to Rabbi Akiva and said that Rabbi Akiva would say that the difference between them would be when an almana marries a kohen gadol, right? A widow is forbidden to kohen gadol, but the pasuk says lo yikach v'lo yichalel, right? So we understood from there that Rabbi Akiva, even though in general he says that most cases of a negative commandment, the child would be a mamzer. In the case of almana to a kohen gadol, the child would not be a mamzer. So now the Gemara asks on the opposing opinion. We're four lines from the bottom on Kaftet Amud Bet. Will there be Yeshbav? According to Rabbi Yeshbav, the Amar Bov and Atzuach al Akiva ben Yosef. Let's go and shout and protest against Rabbi Akiva. In his opinion, Shaya Omer Kol She'en Lo Biabi Israel Havalad Mamzer, that he was increasing Mamzerim in the world by saying that any time there is no Kiddushin, it does not count, then the child is a Mamzer. So according to that opinion, it sounds like even an Almana to a Kohen Gadol, meaning even an Almana to Kohen Gadol, according to that opinion, would not Kiddushin would not be Tofez, the Kiddushin would not count in that case. So my Beinayu, we're back to our original question. What's the essence of the difference between the opinion of Shimon HaTemani and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya? So the Gemara says, Ike Beinayu, Filbing Ne'amun, the difference between them would be Chayave Aseh, a positive commandment, violating a positive commandment like a Mitzri Ve'edomi, right? We know that Egyptians and Edom, the Torah says in the book of Devarim, that within three generations you cannot marry them. It says Dor Shelishi Yavolahem. It says Dor Sheni Lo. It says only by the third generation are the Egyptians and the Edomites allowed to marry into Am Yisrael. And we understand from that it's a Lav Haba Mikal Aseh. It's a negative commandment that comes from a positive commandment, right? The positive commandment is third generation they can marry, right? So we can infer from that the first two generations, they're not allowed to marry in Am Yisrael. And we know that anytime you have a negative commandment that is derived from a positive commandment, Lav Haba Mikal Aseh, Aseh. We know it's a positive commandment. And so therefore, these are the cases where we would understand that, here, Rashi says, Lav Haba Mikal Aseh, Aseh. Here, and since it's not prohibited, since this relationship is not prohibited by a love, it's not a negative commandment, rather it's a positive commandment, so therefore Kiddushin would take effect in this type of situation, and this is the difference essentially between the opinion of Shimon HaTemani and Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya, that Shimon HaTemani would say that since Kiddushin counts, that you fulfill the pasuk of Velo Tiyeh Le'isha, whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya would say, no, you need to be able to stay married to the woman, and in these cases, even if you married a first or second generation Egyptian, convert, obviously. We're talking about a convert. They converted to Judaism, but they can only marry into Am Yisrael by the third generation. So if they married a Jew in the first or second generation, even though they Kiddushin counts, they would have to get rid of them and get a divorce. So the Gemara says, Hanicha l'Rabbi Yeshbav. It makes sense according to his opinion. Ila apuki min ta'amad Rabbi Simaika ate Shapir. If he's coming to disagree or to dissolve himself from the opinion of Rabbi Simai, okay, fine, that makes sense. What did Rabbi Simai say? If you go back, Rabbi Simai was the previous opinion that Rabbi Akiva quoted, that Rabbi Akiva said, Kiddushin doesn't take chal, it doesn't count with any negative commandment. The only time it counts is when almana to a kohen gadol, a widow to a kohen gadol. That was the one case that we said it counts, right, because of the pasuk. So he's saying, if you're coming to exclude to the opinion of Rabbi Simai, saying that even that doesn't count, okay, fine, that makes sense. But ella itama din nafsheka amar. But if he's saying his own svara, his own reasoning, we know kol she'in lo biabi Yisrael havalad mamzer. Anyone who is not allowed to marry in the Am Yisrael, he does not have relation with Am Yisrael. So therefore, the child who comes from that union would be a mamzer. Va'afilu chayve asen, even if it is from a positive commandment. So why is he, if he's from his own reasoning, even a positive commandment, even from a Mitzrayim Edomi, the child would be a mamzer, and according to all opinions. Therefore, that wouldn't be the difference between Shimon HaTemani and Ribbi Shimon HaBen Menasya. So rather, the Gemara changes the answer. My Benayu, to give another answer, what is the difference between the two opinions? Ika Benayu, the difference between them would be Be'ula, the Kohen Gadol, a slept with woman to the Kohen Gadol. Rashi explains that this woman does not have almanut and gerushin, rather it's aseh of a betula, right? We know the pasuk says betula yikach, velo beula. The kohen gadol, he has to take a virgin and not a beula, a woman who was slept with, right? And over here in this case, we're obviously talking about, Rashi explains, someone who was beula shelo kedarka, she was slept with not in the normal way, because if she was slept with in the normal way, then she would not have a right to say anything about her fine, right? Because she wasn't a virgin, she wasn't anything in that aspect, so she can't make a fine. So it's talking about a case of a be'ula to the kohen gadol, that the kiddushin does count, and that would be according to Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, it would count, the pasuk would be fulfilled. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, the pasuk would not work, and therefore that would be the difference between them. So the Gemara says umayishna. What is the difference between this positive commandment and any other positive commandment that Rabbi Akiva agrees? So the Gemara says, "Dahav alei aser she'eino shave bekol." This is considered a positive commandment that is not equal on all grounds. Meaning, this is only for the Kohen Gadol. All other positive commandments, like a Mitzri and Edomi that can't marry in the first two generations, that's for all Jews. Whereas this one is talking specifically to the Kohen Gadol, so it's only for one sect of the Jews, and so that's why this one is different. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Chista." Hakol modim, everybody agrees with Ba'al Nida. If someone sleeps with a Nida, violates a Nida, Shemeshalem Knas, that he has to pay a fine. Leman Damar Yesh Bahavaya. According to Shimon HaTemani, Kiddushin counts by a Nida. If a man marries a woman with Nida, the Kiddushin counts. Hanami Yesh Bahavaya. So too, in this case, we have Havaya. Leman Damar Re'uya LeKarma. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, who says, no, you have to be able to actually stay married to the woman. Hanami Reuya LeKaima, even a girl who is Nida, you're allowed to stay married to her. There's no problem there. So according to both opinions, that would be a full-fledged marriage. Ulapuki Mirabi Nechunya Ben Hakana. It's coming to exclude from the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya. What does he say? The Tanya, the writer says, Rabbi Nechunya Ben Hakana Hayaosed Yom HaKippurim G'Shabbat LeTashlumin. He would view Yom Kippur like Shabbat with regards to paying. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains, Ma Shabbat, just like Shabbat, if somebody is mitchayev ben nafsho, he becomes liable to his life. Right? He violates Shabbat and he becomes liable to death. Upatur min hatashlumin. But let's say while doing so, he also became liable to paying a fine for something. He did something that he was liable to death and liable for paying a fine. So the halakha is, we say, and this is a very common concept in all of Shas, Kim li b'derabamine. We say, if someone simultaneously violates a law that he becomes liable to receive punishment of death penalty and a punishment of, let's say, a fine, we would only give him the death penalty. We would only give him the stricter punishment. That is the concept. We wouldn't give him the less strict punishment. So therefore, just like Shabbat, if you have the death penalty, he just gets the death penalty. He does not have to pay the tashlumin. So too, af Yom HaKippurim, mitchayev ben nafsho, if somebody becomes liable, right, on Yom Kippur, it's not skila, it's not stoning that a person would be put to death, rather it would be karet. So Rashi explains that karet is a similar type of death penalty in the hands of heaven, and so therefore, upatur min tashlumin. Exactly, and he would be exempt from having to pay the tashlumin, which is why this is where he learns that out from. So he's saying essentially that I am excluding the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, that he says that you would be exempt from paying the tashlumin, right? And what are we trying to say over here? That we're trying to say that no, you would be obligated to pay the tashlumin, you'd be obligated to pay the knas. So what we're trying to say is that we're excluding the case of Rabbi Nechunya, that he says you're exempt, we say you're obligated. So the Gemara goes through his opinion. My ta'ama de Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. What is his reasoning? Amar Abaye, Abaye explains, Ne'emar ason bide adam. Okay, there's a pasuk with regards to if two men are fighting, and God forbid, there's a woman who's standing there who's pregnant, and they hit the pregnant woman, and God forbid, they kill the fetus. What do they have to do? So they have to pay. They have to pay the fine. Or so the Gemara says. Just like over there, though, if you look at the pasuk says, "V'chi natzu anashim v'nagefu isha hara v'yatzu yeladeh v'lo ye ason anosh yanesh kasher yashut alav bala isha v'natan biflilin." So he says they have to pay the way it is evaluated by the Baal of the Isha, by the husband of the Isha. So the Gemara says, Amar Baye Ne'amar Ason Bide Adam. It says fatality by hands of man. Meaning in that pasuk it says that word. It says the word Ason. Ne'amar Ason Bide Shamayim. And also there's another pasuk when Yaakov, the whole story, it's a beautiful story over there, when the brothers came back from Yosef in Egypt and they said he's requesting us to bring Binyamin down. So how does the pasuk word it over there? Oh, Bekarao Ason. He said, Ukra'au Ason Baderech. I'm afraid that a fatality is going to come to him on the Derech. What is that referring to? Right? So the Gemara is understanding that this word is the same word. So just like Ason is written in the hands of man, and Ven Ne'emar Ason Bidei Shamayim, and it's also written in the hands of heaven by Yaakov, Ma Ason Ha'amur Bidei Adam, just like by the hands of man, fatality written by the hands of man, Patur Min HaTashlumin, a person would be exempt from paying the Tashlumin. Right? Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, Ason Bidei Adam, that if, let's say, a person becomes liable to death through his action, he would be exempt from paying the tashlumin, right? But if he's not liable to death, then he would have to pay the fine for killing the fetus of another of the pregnant woman. So just like in that case, if there's the death penalty, a person would just be liable to death without having to pay the fine. So too, af asonah amor bidei shamayim. So too, if it is a fatality in the hands of heaven, it would be patur min hatashlumin. He would be exempt. Meaning, if it's karet, if a person becomes liable to karet, like on Yom Kippur, he would be exempt from having to pay tashlumin. This is the first explanation of how we understand his opinion. Abaye. Yes, exactly. So it's the same way we use ason ason, and so therefore, also with karet, a person would be exempt from paying a tashlumin. Okay, that's Abaye's opinion. We're going to see a second explanation on the next amud. Matkif la ravada barahava. He has a contradiction. Mimai dechikam mizhar lehu Yaakov livnei. How do we know when Yaakov is warning his sons? Al tzinim upachim dividei shamayim ninhu. How do we know he's warning him, saying, I don't want Binyamin to go? Why? I'm afraid of tzinim pachim. Of, God forbid, he gets a cold, he gets a bad sickness, or he gets a bad fever. How do we know that's what it's talking about? Because we know tzinim pachim is from shamayim, it's from heaven. That's what we're thinking at face value. So how do we know that's what he's saying? Dilma al ariyeh beganave debidei adam ninu. Maybe he's saying, I'm afraid of animals on the derech. I'm afraid of a lion. I'm afraid of robbers, listin, that are going to come and attack it when you're on the derech. Maybe that's what he's afraid of, and those are in the hands of men. And so therefore, we have no gzerah shava over here. So the Gemara said, right, because we're learning from the pasuk about Yaakov that ason, ukra'au ason, is talking about hands of heaven, that something might happen to him on the derech from Hashem. And I don't want that to happen. So we're understanding the gzerah shavah like that, but maybe it's not even talking about the hands of heaven. So the Gemara says, "Atu Yaakov, aha izhar, aha lo izhar." What is Yaakov only warning his sons about one aspect, about bidei shamayim and not bidei adam, or bidei adam and not bidei shamayim? He's talking about both of them. Yaakov al kol midei izhar. He's warning them, I'm afraid of all things. I don't want my son to get hurt, whether it's from Hashem or from animal, right? So that resolves the problem. Meaning, you can now make a gzera shava. We're learning from Yaakov's pasuk, both bidei shamayim and bidei adam. You can learn bidei shamayim, bidei adam. You make a gzera shava, no problem. So now the Gemara asks, v'tzinim pachim bidei shamayim ninu. Is getting a cold or getting a fever, is that in the hands of heaven? We have a very meforash Gemara. V'atanya is a Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah. It's in multiple places in Shas. The Brayta says, "Hakol bidei shamayim chutz min tzinim pachim." Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for a cold and a fever. A cold and getting hot. What does that mean? That those are in the hands of a person. A lot of times, meaning not always, but a lot of times, a person could be negligent and he doesn't cover himself up properly, or he doesn't take care of himself properly, and that's why a person is getting a cold, or he's getting sick, cold and heat. Right? So you understand that this is not bidei shamayim, it's bidei adam. This is the hands of men. Shneimar tzinim pachim baderech ikesh, shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. That getting cold or fever is on the crooked derech. And he says, if somebody wants to protect himself, he has to distance himself from these things. You have to take care of yourself if you don't want to get sick. Right? So he said, it sounds like it's in the hands of men. So the Gemara says, vetu, and also, is a lion and robbers, are those in the hands of man? Rav Yosef says, and Rabbi Chia as well, miyom shecharav Beit HaMikdash, on the day that Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, afal pi shebatlu Sanhedrin, even though we don't have a Sanhedrin, arba mitod lo batlu, we still have the four death penalties. Sekila, serifa, herik, vechenek, we still do them today. So the Gemara says, "Lo batlu, ha batlulu." How can you say that we still do them? We don't do those anymore. They were nullified once the Sanhedrin was gone. We can't do those anymore. So the Gemara says, "Ela." What do we mean to say? This is the Gemara also in Masechet Sota. Ela din. I'm flipping the Amud. The din arba mitot lo batlu. The essence, the punishment from Shamayim of the four death penalties still stands. Meaning, somebody breaks Shabbat and he's liable to death by stoning, either a person will fall from the roof eventually, or an animal will come and kill him. Right? That's in replacement for sekila today. Somebody who's liable to fire, let's say to burning, the death of burning, or nofel bedleka, not fire but burning. So either he'll fall into a fire, or nachash machisho, or let's say a snake will bite him and kill him like that. Hariga, somebody who becomes liable to the death penalty of chopping off the head, of beheading. Either he'll be given over to the government, to the kingship, the kingdom that will, the authorities will take care of him. Or robbers will come and, attack him. So one or the other. And somebody is liable to strangulation. Somebody is liable to the strangulation. Either he'll drown in the water, or he'll die with this disease that a person can't, he's no longer able to breathe anymore. It's called over here quinzi. I think the specific disease is that it constricts the throat, that a person can't breathe, and then he suffocates, God forbid. Right? So all of these cases, it's all from Mishamayim. The whole point is that he's trying to say is that it's not bidei Adam. Robbers, animals, all these types of things are all bidei Shamayim. They come from the hands of Hashem when a person passes away. So the Gemara says, Ela ipuch. Rather flip it around. Ariyeh v'ganave bidei Shamayim. Sinim upachim bidei Adam. First answer, lions, animals, and robbers are all from Hashem. They're all in the hands of heaven. But cold and hot, that's in the hands of men. Meaning, according to this version of the Gemara, if a person gets sick, he gets a cold, he gets a fever, it's in his hands. Meaning, a person is not sleeping well, a person is not taking care of himself possibly better. He could take himself better, take care of himself better. Or a person is not covering himself up well enough in the winter, and that's why a person gets sick. It's in the hands of man, of course, partially as well, for a person to take care of himself. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Rava Amar, he gives a completely different route. Tamad Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, his reasoning of Rabbi Nechunya is the following. Mehacha. The Pasuk says, these are a couple of Pesukim in the book of Vayikra, V'im ha'alem ya'alimu ama'aretz et enehem, if they take away their eyes and they don't pay attention, mina'isha hu, from this person, betito mizaro la'molech, who gives his daughter, gives his child to molech, right? They used to sacrifice their children. So if somebody sees someone doing that and they say, ah, it's okay, veleshkon, leave him, v'samti ani et panai be'isha hu, I'm going to put my face on that person, u'mishpachto, and his family, v'ichrati oto, and I'm going to give them karet. So the Gemara says, Amra Torah, karet sheli kemita shelachem. My karet, Hashem says, is like your death. Meaning, when Hashem gives karet to somebody, it's equivalent to a death in this world. That's what it really is in the world to come. So, ma mita shelachem patur min hatashlumin. Just like death penalty in this world, if someone gets a death penalty simultaneously with the tashlumin, he becomes exempt from paying the fine. Af karet sheli patur min hatashlumin. So too, if somebody receives karet, like on Yom Kippur we said, right? He would be exempt from having to pay the fine. So this is where Rava learns out the source for Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. So the Gemara says, "Mai ika ben Rava la Abaye." What is the difference between the opinion of Rava and Abaye? Right? Rava said we learn out from the Gzera Shava, Ason. Abaye said we learn from the Gzera Shavav, Ason, Ason. Rava is saying, no, we learn from the Pazuk, that if he doesn't pay attention and he doesn't punish the person, so then I will put karet on him. So the Gemara says, my ika bein Rava Abaye, ika beinayu, the difference between them, zar sha'achal teruma. If let's say a non-kohen eats teruma, that we know, is chayav mita abide shamayim. Right, a person is not allowed to eat teruma. Rashi says, look at Rashi, zar sha'achal b'mezid, hu mita b'mita abide shamayim, velo b'karet, he is only b'mita abide shamayim. So what do you see over there? What would be the difference? The Gemara explains, le'abaye patur, according to Abaye, he would be exempt from having to pay. Right? But according to Rava, or the Rava, chayav, he would be obligated to have to pay. In that situation, why? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Labaye patur." When the Abaye is exempt, mitashlumin de nafkelim ason, because Abaye learns it from the word ason, fatality. Bidei shamayim, bekol ason v'mashma, bein mimitah bein mekaret, any fatality, whether it's in the hands of man or a karet in the hands of heaven. So if it's a death penalty in the hands of heaven, Abaye says you're exempt from the tashlumin. Whereas Rava says no, as we specifically a death penalty in this world or actual karet, right? So if it's a death penalty in the hands of heaven, that's not considered enough to exempt a person. So the Gemara now asks, "Ula Abaye patur?" According to Abaye, the person would be exempt from paying. V'ha'amar Rav Chista, we have Rav Chista, moder Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. He agrees. Rabbi Nechunya agrees. Begonev chelbo shel chaverov. Somebody steals his chelv, the fat of a friend. Ve'achalon, he eats it. Shehu chayav, that he is obligated to pay. Shekvar nitchayev begniva. Because he already became liable with thievery, with stealing, before he even ate the chalev, and he became liable to eating the chalev. Alma, what do we see from this? From the second that the friend picked up the stolen item, the stolen food, let's say, he picked it up, he acquired it, and that's when he violated the prohibition. But he didn't become liable to death until he ate the food. So obviously, clearly, these are two separate things. First, he became liable to stealing, and only thereafter he became liable to a violation of eating the chalev, and would be liable to death. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami." So too in our case, be'idana de agbe kanye, the time he picked up the truma, he acquired it, right? And he didn't become liable to the death until later on, until he actually ate it, right? So what he's trying to say is these two acts did not happen simultaneously. We said the whole law of Vekim Le B'Derav Aminei, that if you have two acts happen simultaneously, we give the stricter punishment. That's only when they happen at the exact same time. Over here, one is liable for first, and the other one is liable for afterwards.
If you lift it, it's a sin?
That's a good question. So I think over here it explains.
Not like stealing.
So it sounds like over here, it sounds like it's talking about he's taking somebody else's truma.
Oh.
Right? That's what it sounds like from what we said.
So it's a stealing kind of.
Yeah, he's taking his friend's truma. Right? That's the first face value what we're understanding. So the Gemara is going to give a few answers how we understand this, that it could be that it's simultaneous. So the Gemara says. Okay. So the Gemara says. What are we dealing with over here? Answer number one. His friend actually stuck the truma into his mouth. So he never picked it up. So really he only became chayav when it was in his mouth. And so therefore it was simultaneously. And that's why he would be exempt from, according to Abaye, from having to pay the fine. So the Gemara says, sof, but at the end of the day, once he started chewing it, he became liable. Right? That was when he acquired it. But he didn't become liable to eating it until he actually swallowed it. So it's not simultaneously. Chewing and swallowing is separate acts. The Gemara says, answer number two. No. The guy took the food and he stuck it in his throat. No chewing. Very interesting case. He took the food and the truman stuck it in his throat. So therefore both of them happened in one case. And the Gemara asks, what's the case over there? If the guy can take the food out and give it back to him, take it out and give it back to him. And let's say it's too far deep in the throat that he can't take it out anymore. So, why is he liable? He's anus. Someone stuck something asur in your throat, you're liable. If I take pork and I put it in your throat without your permission, you're liable. You're anus. There's nothing I could have done. And you stuck it in my throat without paying attention. So the Gemara says, lo tzricha, what are we talking about? De matzi la adura ideya dacha. He could have returned it, but it would be difficult and it would be disgusting to have returned it, and the owner would not want that type of truma back. So therefore, it's considered to have happened the exact same moment, because he's not going to take it out of his mouth, and it's going to be a disgusting thing to give back to the owner. The owner doesn't want it back. So essentially, it's happening both simultaneously. And that's when the exemption of having to pay for the fine would happen, because it happens at the same time. That's answer number two. Answer number three. Rafa Pa'amar, Kigon she'techav lo chavero mashkin shel truma letoch piv. No, he says very simply, he stuck a drink of truma into his friend's mouth. So therefore, it happens simultaneously. And also over there, it's disgusting to take it out as a drink, right? So it happens simultaneously. That person is benefiting from it. He's drinking it at the same time while he is, he's swallowing it. He's swallowing it and he acquired it at the same time. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi gives a fourth answer. Bizar she'achal truma mishelo. It's not talking about the truma of his friend. He never stole it from a friend. What is he talking about? His own truma. Oh, okay, and why would you have two liabilities over here? There's only one liability. Well, what's the liability of it? I mean, he's just chayav mitabi de shamayim, right? Because he's only eating his truma of his own, but it's not, someone, let's say, gave him truma, but he's not a kohen, right? So the Gemara says, what is his liability? Flipping the amun, v'kara shirain shel chavero. And at the same time, simultaneously, as he's swallowing his own teruma, he's ripping the silk, his friend's clothing. His friend's silk. So what do you have over here? He's ripping his friend's clothing, Rashi says, at the time he's swallowing it, va'af agav de mita lav mishum mamona de nizak, even though the death is not coming from the monetary law of the nizak, atyale miftar usvira le Rav Ashi mita lazeh v'tashlumin lazeh patur. He holds, Rav Ashi holds, that if you have mita, death, from what, right, he's eating truma, that's death, and he's ripping someone's clothing at the same time. So he is liable to pay this person, but he's liable to death at the same time. So Rav Ashi has this interesting opinion that it's not even have to be the same sin at the same time. It could even be two separate acts for two separate people that he's violating at the same time simultaneously. And so therefore, if there's mita and knas and the tashlum that he would have to pay, he would be exempt from having to pay tashlum, because we see that same law that kim levi d'rabba minei, he would only go with stricter punishment. So therefore, he has the death penalty and the payment. He would only receive the death penalty and the ends of heaven. So therefore, that would be why Abaye in that case would exempt him from having to pay the tashlumim. Okay, we'll stop there for a second.